So you guys need to get behind your church, support, lift them up, and come out and support them. Tonight you have one more night. Anybody? Let me ask you this. Who doesn't know what we do? That doesn't know what the Power Team does? All right, so everybody, can I see a couple hands? All right, Power Team is basically, it's made up of close to 20 athletes who come from backgrounds in NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, WWE, even cheerleading. Don't worry, he's the road manager, though. So. That's right, you can give JR a hard time about that tonight if you see him. That is true. He used to be a cheerleader. That's why he's the road manager. But no, range from all kinds of different backgrounds, athletes. Basically, we break bricks with our forearms, our arms, our head. I don't know why we do that, but growing up, my mom said, Michael, whatever you do in life, make sure you use your head. So I said, all right, Mom. So we break baseball bats, we tear phone books in half, we bend steel, blow up hot water bottles. If you can see, you might not be able to see, I have big red marks on the side of my face right here. That's from the hot water bottles blowing up this week. Basically, when they blow up, they come right back at you. They're mad at you and slap you right in the face. Not fun at all. And so you might ask, you know, so why do you guys do what you do? Why do you do all these crazy things? How does that have anything to do with God, with Jesus, Christianity? How does that have to do with all that? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. But it has to do with getting people's attention and getting them to come inside of maybe church walls or come inside a school auditorium, which that's what we're in this week, when they would normally not come into a church building, right? And come see some crazy guys do some crazy things. But then we could do a little sneak attack on them and bring the word of God to them. And we share the love of Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for all of us in our lives. And that's what it's all about. This last year, I've traveled over 30 weeks in the last 12 months. I have a beautiful wife at home. I have three kids. I have an 8-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son, and a 15-month-old son. So it's a lot of sacrifice for what we do. But I'm extremely passionate. I'm extremely inspired to somehow affect this next generation. And I'm sick and tired of the world standards. I'm sick and tired of the way the media, MTV, VH1, the whole culture is surrounded by just live in the moment. You don't have to worry about what happens tomorrow. If you're a young person, you're supposed to live wild, supposed to live crazy. Sow your oats. Don't worry about the outcome of your decisions. No big deal. I'm sick and tired of it because they're trying to sell a fantasy and they're not selling reality. And I've been through many times in my own life where I've bought into that lie. I've eaten that pill or swallowed that pill from the world, and I've found myself in very bad situations that very quickly reminded me of how I was not living for my destiny, not living for my purpose. And the reality is that every single one of us here in this place, every single one of every person that's out of sight of these walls today, whether they're in church or not, every single person on this earth does have a purpose, does have a destiny, a God purpose, and a God destiny. And it's for us all to find what that purpose is and that destiny is. And the reality is God has given you the tools. He's equipped you with the strengths to accomplish whatever he wants you to accomplish. And a lot of times we get down on ourselves, we push ourselves down, we get in a rut, we get stuck in a situation where, I'm not this, I'm not that, I can't this, I can't that, I'm not a great speaker, you know, I'm not an athlete, I can't do that, I can't go break bricks, you know, I'm not a good salesman, I can't sell, I'm not this and that. And we just worry about what we're not, and that's the way the enemy wants us to think about, but God wants to think about what we are, because he's created us the way he wants us to be, not what we want to be. And so many times we get so sold by TV and, you know, this whole, you know, just living, keeping up with the Joneses thing, you know, where we're trying just to keep up every second, every weekend. And God just wants us to be relaxed, take a deep breath, and be comfortable with who He has made us to be, because He's made you the way He wants you to be. So this morning, as I was praying, this paragraph has really been in my spirit, I guess, in my heart. It really spoke to me a few weeks ago when I was flying. I think I was flying from Seattle back home from doing a crusade. But this passage right here that was written by Paul in 2 Corinthians really spoke out to me, and that's kind of what I'm going to establish this next few minutes with you about. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through verse 10, if you want. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so our translations will probably be very different. The kind of words that they use in here are more type of words that we would use today, that's why I love the New Living Translation. So you can try to guide with me, and if you don't want to, just listen. Like my brother was talking about this morning, listen, right, with his brother-in-law. But I'm going to skip down to the good part where I want to get to. This is Paul talking about. He just got done ministering in the province of Asia and is basically depressed. He's down. He's out. It has not been a good ministry trip. And he doesn't know what he's going to do. So in the middle of verse 8, it says this. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. Let me read that one more time. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Has anybody ever felt like that? Come on, you can be honest. Come on, let's be honest here. I know I have. Come on. I mean, that, you know, I got the breastplate of righteousness. I got my sword. I'm ready. I'm going to fight the enemy. He can't knock me down. Yo, thank by God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? That's pretty hard to live like that all the time, right? Sometimes this life happens and gets pretty tough and gets what? Overwhelming, beyond our ability to endure, right? And we thought we would never live through it. There's been definitely some times in my life where I thought, I don't even want to live through it, to be honest with you. I don't even know if I'm going to, but I don't want to live through this, God. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your plan is. But it really doesn't seem like a good idea to me right now, you know? Thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, and this is where it all goes right here, this is where we have to be as Christian believers, people who are truly going to be powerful on this earth and change this next generation, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God. That's the hardest part, really. Because so often, like I was just saying, it's hard to understand God's plan sometimes. It's hard to see the way He sees. It's hard to understand what His plan is for our life. It's hard to understand why He lets us go through situations, right? It doesn't make sense sometimes. There's been times in my life, God, why would you let that happen? I mean, that doesn't make sense at all, God. I mean, we're serving you. Come on, we need you to help us here. Why would you let this happen? But so many times, what are we doing? We're putting ourselves like we're the know-it-all and putting God in the back seat. God, listen, I want to serve you, I love you, but you sit in the back seat, let me drive my car. I think I got this figured out. You know, that was where I was at in my life. You know, I was raised a pastor's kid, and basically, raised as a pastor's kid in a startup church, you're raised without a lot of things. You know, we had a startup church. Many times, you know, our electricity bill wasn't getting paid, so the church's electricity bill could get paid. So it kind of built up a desire in me for when I got older, I wanted to be able to buy things for my family like wasn't done for me, like I felt, at least. So I always knew, though, without a shadow of a doubt, I always knew I had a call to ministry. This is what I was called to do. But I decided about 19, 20, you know what, God? This is what's going to happen here. This is the plan. I'm going to go into business. I'm going to make some money, you know. I'm going to start my own company. I'm going to make some money, save up, try to have everything paid off for, you know. And about maybe my late 20s, early 30s, I'll be ready, you know, to go into ministry. But don't worry about me, God. I'll have the money thing worked out, taken care of, so you'll never have to worry about blessing me and stuff. And then, you know, it'll all be good, you know. Just we're working together, man. We're a team. And so I start a company, and at 21, and everything was great, you know, fine and dandy, and, you know, it was kind of successful at first, and I'm thinking, I got the world by the horns right here, man. I just got it. This was easy. So what happened next? Oh, well, guess what? Well, I got one of the biggest deals that I thought was going to just be the one just to jet stream me through business. Absolutely taken right under my feet. My biggest client basically X'd me out of the deal, went straight through to my supplier. And the next thing you know, I lose thousands of dollars and company goes bankrupt. Oh, that's fun. God, that wasn't a part of the plan here. I thought on three we both said hut, you know, what happened? So, you know, my stubborn-headedness and still, you know, bull-headedness, still didn't give in then and decided I'll go back into another type of business, went into that, and everything's going great, and my wife's pregnant with our third child, and right at 4 weeks before we have our third child, I lose my job. What? Do you not get, I'm having a kid in 4 weeks, right? 4 weeks. So imagine, ladies, that was not a good conversation when I went home that afternoon with my wife. I know we're having a kid, our next baby here in 4 weeks. That's exciting. I love you so much. I lost my job. It was not fun. But finally, what was God doing through this whole situation where, remember, I was overwhelmed about beyond my ability to endure. I couldn't endure these things. I felt like giving up. I felt like dying. But finally, what did I do just a couple years back? That took me over 7 years to keep going through tough time after tough time after tough time. What did I finally do that finally got me over the hump to say, Lord, I give up. What do you want? I stopped relying on myself and put my trust in God. Hey, you can rely on yourself as much as you want. And you know what? Some things might work out really well. And some other things might not. I don't know. Sometimes as Christians, you know, we can kind of look at people who are non-believers or who are of the world, right? We're like, gosh, why do they seem like they're so blessed? They're this, that. Everything just goes right for them. That, look at all the stuff I go through. Well, stop relying on yourself and rely only on God. You know what? They don't read that part, so obviously they're just relying on ourselves, on themselves. Things are working out. But what I can tell you is when the rubber meets the road and someday and they're looking at a throne and they're entering into eternity, we're going to have this to stand on. And relying on themselves is not going to work out any longer. So you got to stop relying on yourself and you have to start relying on God. You know, I've shared in my testimony this week, the first night, and talking about being raised as a pastor's kid. My father had an up-and-coming church in Dallas, Texas, and God was using our family in great ways. And at the age of 33, and I was only 9 years old, my father dropped dead of a sudden heart attack. And I was right with him, actually, right before he had his heart attack. My father started a ministry called Hell House. Has anybody ever heard of that? Churches do it around Halloween time. My father started that in 1989, I think it was, or 88. And so, father just dropped dead out of nowhere. There was no signs, no no question, no one knew that that was going to happen. He was just 33 years old, three kids, a wife. But what I can tell you is the good news, I guess, really for my father was, is my dad knew he was going to pass away. He knew he was going to die. Didn't have any diseases. Didn't have any sickness. Didn't have a doctor say, you know, you have a month to live or whatever. But the way I know that he knew he was going to pass was my father died on a Sunday night. And 2 weeks to the day before my father passed away, two Sunday nights before, my father had me in his office at our house explaining to me what death was as a nine-year-old boy. Saying, Michael, this skin right here that you're in, it's a space suit. And the person who you are who goes into heaven, it's on the inside. It's just like the spacesuit, Michael. That suit's not who you are, but you're inside that. So when we explain in death to me about how we die, our soul either goes to heaven or hell, and we have the opportunity to decide here on earth whether or not we accept heaven or push it away. For 2 hours, he explained to me what death was. The very next week, 1 week to the day before my dad passed away, late at night, my mom actually kept on coming in. Gary, he has to go to bed. He has school in the morning. He kept on saying, Lucy, I'm taking care of some stuff tonight. I will take him to school in the morning, but I'm taking care of some business. 1 week to the day before he passed away, Michael, you are called to ministry. The mantle that I've started, the anointing that I have, the anointing that God's put our family through in ministry and called us for, you are called to take that to the next level. Whatever I've done has just been a starter for you to push through and for our family when you get older. Never give up, Michael. Never give in. Never give in to the world. Don't do the stuff that the world says you're supposed to do. For 2 hours as a nine-year-old boy, my father was just empowering me. After my dad passed away, there was a letter that was written out to the church that was in his desk, about a 3-page letter that was written out to the church telling them what an honor it was to get to be their pastor. And he described many different families that had came to Christ through our church and what an honor and blessing it was to get to see them come to the Lord. So here's the reality, though, is that 99% of all of us here on earth that die never know when we're going to die. 99% of us here on earth, we never know when that last beat will happen or that last breath will happen. You know, my father was known for a lot of great things. My father, everybody who met my dad, they always thought that they were his best friend. He just was that kind of guy. He has a huge heart, loved everybody. Loved everybody. He would spend so much time with anybody on a street corner in a Home Depot. I mean, I remember as a kid in Home Depot walking with them. Somebody came up to him, hey, Gary. My dad sat there and talked to him for like 10 minutes, just loving on him. And I remember walking away and go, Dad, is that your best friend? He goes, no, son, just one of my friends. But everybody thought they were my dad's best friends, just kind of guy he was. He loved everybody, and he loved the Lord with all of his heart. But you know, there's two guarantees that we have in life, like I'm talking about. The first guarantee is that we're all born. So if you're sitting here today, and you're listening to me talk this morning, you're looking at me, guess what? You've hit the first guarantee. Congratulations. But the second guarantee that we all have in our lifetime is we all will die. It's part of life. Second guarantee. So my first question is while you're here on earth, is what will you be known for? My dad was known for a lot of things. There was over 5,000 people at my dad's funeral. It was done on radio, TV in Dallas. My question is what will your legacy be? What kind of person will they talk about at your funeral? Will there be a bunch of buddies talking down? Oh, man, he was a great fisherman. Oh, man, he could throw down the beers with the boys. Man, he was just a fun guy. Man, he was a great hunter. Man, we had some good old times. Oh, man, remember that shopping day we all had with the girls? Oh, man, she could bake the best banana nut bread you could ever find. She was a great quilter. Might tell some jokes. But then once the funeral really sets in, what will they talk about you about? What will they describe you? How will they describe you? Well, they talk about, man, he went through some tough times, she went through some tough times. They kind of did their best, you know, just kind of got through life, you know. Or, man, they went through some tough stuff, but they never lost the faith. They never gave in to putting God on the back seat. They went through some tough stuff in their life, but they never gave up. They never gave up hope in God. And I can guarantee you, they're right now, they're praising God. They're looking at Him face to face right now. What will you be known for? What kind of legacy are you leaving here on earth? You're either a me builder or a legacy builder. And like we talked about here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about, as a result, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God. If you want to create a good legacy for your family, for your kids, for who you are, stop relying on yourself and rely only on God. Are you ready for that second guarantee? Have you made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you maybe made that decision in the past and just kind of did the decision and just kind of still living life, you know, just the regular way you were living before? Are you really trying to know Him and become and have a relationship with Him? Are you building your life on knowing Him more? Or are you just building your life on just coming in, getting out of church as quick as you can, moving on with your day, you know, putting that Christianity thing back on the back seat when you're at work in the week? Or are you really being a light in the world? That's my question here today. Are you ready for that second guarantee? If you will, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, we thank You for being such an awesome and incredible God. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. Your love is something we can't even understand. We can't even fathom. I mean, You sent Your only Son to die on a cross, sent Him down to this sinful earth to be beaten, to be made fun of, to be mocked, to be abused for us so that we could get the chance to accept Him as the greatest sacrifice and live in eternity with You. Father, please forgive all of us for missing the mark at times, for living under Your standard, for not living up to our potential, who we can be and who You created us to be, and the potential who You've given us the power to be as Christians. Help us every day, Father, to find You in a new way, learn more about You in a new way, and be a light to people who are around us. Lord, help us be an encourager to others, a lover to others, Father. No matter what other people are going through, no matter how they look like, what they look like, how they talk, how they act, Lord, let us be a light and a great example of a Christian for You. You know, if you're sitting here in this place as every head's bowed still, and if you're sitting in this place and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never made that decision, you're not prepared for the second guarantee then. If you haven't made that decision, you are not ready for eternity. And see, we don't know when that last heartbeat's going to beat. We don't know when that last breath of air, beautiful air that's here on earth, is going to not hit our lungs again. You don't know when the day is going to be. My father didn't. He was just 33 on October 6th of 1991. Great day. I hung out with my dad all day long. It was a beautiful day. You never know when that last day is going to be. My question is to you, are you ready for the second guarantee? And if you're not ready for the second guarantee, here's the awesome news, the great news, is that Jesus Christ gave us the greatest gift that myself and many, many other people here in this building have accepted, and that's accepting His sacrifice of dying on the cross for all of our sins. And the Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart. It's that simple. Confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart. So my question is to you, if you're not ready for that second guarantee, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hands up as fast as you can get them so you can be ready for eternity. the count of three, if you're not ready for the second guarantee, if you're not ready to enter into eternity and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," then you need to make that decision today. This is your life. We're talking about eternity here. On the count of three, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you've never made that decision, or you need to make it again. If you need to make that decision again, if you need a recommitment this morning, go ahead and do that. All right. All right. Everybody repeat this prayer after me. There's a couple hands that went up. Lord, I thank you. If you said this prayer, you should have. Repeat this after me. Lord, I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I accept his sacrifice and want to live in the fulfillment of your word. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace. So now that I can live with you in eternity. Lord, help me be all you've created me to be. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Amen. Give them a big hand, all those who raise a hand. If you made that decision this morning, I saw a couple little half hands, a couple right here, you know. If you made that decision, get with your pastor, talk to him, get some encouragement, let him give you some material to help you with that decision you made today. We've been extremely blessed to be here this week. It's been a great week. Been beat up a lot this week. Gosh. I was telling the guys driving here this morning, I was like, man, I just have scratches, bruises, cuts. I mean, I'm gassed right here from all the bats last night. All over. So it's been fun, though. You do not want to miss tonight. Tonight's going to be a big night. But before we leave today, I do want to give everybody the opportunity to try to get behind the power team and support us. The way the power team is able to travel around city to city, week to week, and the way we were able to come here to your city this week was based on churches and the church bodies who sent us here just last month. Last month, I was in Tennessee. Last month, I was in Laredo, Texas. And based on Christian believers who believe in the power team and what we're doing, based on their giving was the way that we were able to come here and support the ministry and be able to come here this week. This next month, we will be in Kansas. I think we will be in Ohio as well. And next month, I believe we're doing over 50 schools in those states, just next month alone. So if I can, if I could ask all the ushers to come forward and pass out our envelopes. We call this envelope the envelope of hope, because this morning with your giving, the power team is the number one school assembly in the world. Basically, we speak into over 800 to 1,000 schools a year. I myself, in the last 12 months, have spoken in over 300 schools. Just this year alone, just since January, I've spoken in 170 schools in the last 6 months. I can't tell you story after story of how many girls have come up to me after our high school assemblies and talked to me about different situations of their father abusing them in horrible ways, and thinking about committing suicide. I've had many girls come and hand me razor blades, hand me knives. I've had many situations of a couple different guys a couple months ago, actually, who came to me who were drug dealers, and after our semis decided to stop selling dope. I can tell you story after story. The power team is kind of how I tell a lot of people. You know, the power team, it's not something, we're on the enemy lines. We're actually on the ground in the middle of the battle. This isn't stuff you see on TV. This isn't stuff you hear through the media. I mean, I'm talking, I'm there. We're there. You know, this generation, over 100 teenagers every single day successfully commit suicide. 100 teenagers every day. And I can count on my hand over 4 different teenagers that have come to me and handed me their plan of committing suicide to decide not to do that after one of our assemblies. Almost 3,000 girls become pregnant every single day. Every day. Not every week, every day. Over 3.3 million teenage alcoholics. And guys, this next generation needs our touch. You know, John said this every single night, I think. You know, the enemy wins when the church does nothing. So it's our job. A lot of times our nighttime programs, you know, it's kind of like a mission field, really. A lot of times there's a lot of unbelievers there, which is good. That's what we want. That's why we're here. But at the same time, that's great for salvations, and that's why we're here. But it's also can be very taxing for finances as well. And the reality is this week, you know, we have over 20 power team members, staff included. There's other power team members all over the map. And so it's not just us three, you know, that are part of the power team, but there's a lot of us. And the reality is this week we're well over $10,000 below our budget. So to help us really get through August, if you can, if maybe there's some of you out there, maybe some families who can get behind and support a school assembly, maybe. Maybe there's a couple out there that can support this, pay for the supplies. Our supplies are $100 to do in a school assembly. In one school assembly, we charge a school $500, which almost a third of the schools that we do, they can't financially pay for them anymore. So we're doing our best to still get to schools that can't pay for us, because a lot of times those are the schools that need it the most, really. So thank you guys for your time. Thank you for listening to me. If you will, Pastor, if you would come up here and pray over this. If you're making a check, make it out to Power. Make a check out to Power. If you already made it out to the church, we'll figure it out.
If you made it out to the church, we'll figure it out. But I'm going to take it out to Power.
And let's just pray and believe God together for a miracle finances for the Power team, that they'll be able to continue their ministry uninterrupted. Father, we're so grateful today that we're able to experience the Power team, Lord, and to understand their mission a little bit better, Lord, and to be able to feel their heart for these students in these schools. And Lord, we just pray today that you would multiply the funds that will be given here today to meet every need that the Power team has. Lord, they would be able to continue to go in the schools and just not have to worry about finances, but to be free to be able to go where you would send them to go. Lord, just continue to anoint them, and may your hand of blessing be so evident upon this ministry. Thank you today, Lord, for the privilege of being able to share and partner together with them in this ministry, knowing today that, Lord, that as we write out checks or put cash in those offering envelopes, that we are investing in the lives of young people and
yes.
School assemblies that will be done
yes.
This year. Lord, we are investing literally in eternity. Lord, that's
yes.
Really what matters. That's what counts. And so multiply these funds today. And bless the Power team, Lord, and keep them safe as they have one more night of ministry in Baldwin. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to people's hearts, Lord, that they would come tonight, that they would bring somebody with them. And Satan, we bind you from this event in the name and through the blood of Jesus. Lord, that those that need to be there tonight will be there. Lord, again, thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. And you guys don't want to miss it. Tonight is our last night, last opportunity to see our show. Pastor, I don't know yet. I haven't gotten the word yet. But there's a good chance that your pastor is going to, in fact, after tonight, guys, be the holiest man in all of Baldwin, Wisconsin. Because we're going to lay him down on 1,000 nails. And then we're going to put another 1,000 nails in his chest. Not in, but I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, the good news is, I mean, Power Team's been doing this for 35 years. So, I mean, there's probably been over 20,000 pastors that have done this. I only know four guys that have been brutally hurt. So, did JR give you those insurance papers back to you? No, he didn't? All right. We'll sign them later this afternoon, but So anyways.
Actually, we're going to have an emergency meeting right after this. Anyone who would like to be ordained?
So anyways, you don't want to miss it. Come out. If you haven't been in the last four nights, come on. Get behind your church here. Support what they've done this week, because they put a lot of work and a lot of effort into this. And I'm not sure if he is, the pastor's going to be doing it, but I think he's going to be. So come out, check it out. We're going to have some fun.